The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Skiing. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all, and welcome to this very special edition of the TWBC podcast. I am the aforementioned Tony Lightfoot, and glad once again to have your consistent support. All right, Moomba, just around the corner. We are in the month of March, and the first major pro event of the season is upon us. And I have a very special guest that I'll get to speak to. He is one of the announcers, if not the main announcer, at Moomba on the Yarra River, and has fulfilled that role for the last few seasons. It is Jared Fioro. How are you doing?
Yeah, very good, Tony. Thanks very much for having me.
Okay. Did I manage to get the last name right?
I think it's one of the things. Everyone gets it wrong. Even people that know me get it wrong. It's just Faro. It's nice and basic, but that's fine.
Okay, Faro. Okay. All right, then. So with that out the way, let's continue on. Moomba Masters, just a few days away. This time of year for anyone that's fulfilling your role in tournament water skiing, so far as announcing, must think that this is Christmas, right?
Oh, it's, you know what, Tony, we're 3 days out, and it feels like Christmas every year. I know Glenn Williams every year says Moomba Monday feels like Christmas to him, and just the whole Moomba, unless you've been there and you've experienced it, Moomba's just something different. It definitely does. It's this time of year. It's good for us here in Australia, being it's the heading towards the end of our season, so our juniors and our open skiers are ready and they're primed to make a big hit on the big stage, and yeah, it's awesome.
All right then. So with that in mind, kind of give us a little bit of a behind the scenes deal of as to what you do. I mean, because a lot of people know what I do. With TWBC traveling the world and what have you, But I mean, you've got Moomba, which is almost an entirely different kettle of fish so far as where it takes place, a flowing river which could have tides come in and completely destroy the place in a few seconds, and then you've got the whole festival atmosphere. You've got man alive. I mean, I tell you what, I wish I was there at the moment getting ready for this tournament. But I mean, there's certainly a lot that goes into to making the Moomba Masters a success that it always has been year after year.
Oh, it does. And Darren Robertson does a great job just coordinating the entire event. Basically, as soon as 2022 finished, he's straight back a couple of weeks after Moomba, and they're already preparing for 2023. So he basically, Darren's the president of the Victorian Water Ski Association. He looks after all of the basically running of the event. And yeah, so he spends that time setting up the site and getting the council approval. This year, we've actually been knocked back a day. So normally we start juniors Wednesday, Thursday, and then the open start Friday all the way through to Monday. But unfortunately this year, Melbourne City Council have adjusted it, and we've actually only got Thursdays. We're running juniors Thursday and Friday, and then the opens are going to go from Saturday through to Monday. So I might explain that a little bit later. But then, of course, you've got Fran Hines, who sits in the background, and she sort of just coordinates a lot of the skiers and a lot of the bits and pieces, the stuff that Darren doesn't want to do. I help a little bit with entries. So I put up the tri booking entry forms and help where I can with the entries. And then when it comes down to sort of the last couple of weeks, it's organising, trying to get guys to get their bios sorted and make sure that we've got all the right things for the webcast, and making sure that we're ready to go once Thursday comes along, Wednesday or Thursday comes along, that we've got the information in the commentary box to be able to give not only the people on the webcast, but when you've got 20 or 30,000 people lining the banks, the Yarra, you want to keep them as much informed as you can. So yeah, that's sort of my role. And then this year we've got Glenn Williams from New Zealand has helped me in commentary, and then we'll also have Rob Wing, who's been around for a while too. And Tony, maybe you never know, mate. Maybe next year we can work something and get you over here too.
Yeah, that would be a dream come true for me. That much I can tell you. But you touched upon something there, interesting in your response, that the actual staging of the Moomba Masters, you know, from the sounds of it, I mean, with the negotiations that you have to make with the Melbourne City Council, it isn't always a guaranteed that the tournament runs. It would seem.
Oh, that's one of the things a lot of people don't understand about the tournament itself. We get a particular water time. So from when, like, as I said, we used to have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday through to Monday. And if we don't fill that time, the council goes, well, you're wasting water. We're going to take it off you. So we need to basically maximize every second. And Wayne Bryant and all of the organizers do a great job in the way, and Bruce Coburn do a great job in the way that they organize basically to the second. We're literally running it towards when it gets to 6 o'clock, when it's juniors, there might be three skiers left with 12 minutes to go, and we are racing because we cannot be a minute over time. We need to be running to that exact schedule. So it's tough. And like, even the setup of the site, people don't get. I know Toby Daff, some of you may know who he is. He's one of the technical coordinators and setting up all the cameras and all the in-course and the rest of it. He's been down there since yesterday, just trying to get the infrastructure in just to be able to run a L-rated tournament after tricks. But yeah, it takes an army to get member on.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly sounds like an uphill struggle, you know. And one of the things that sets Moomba apart from a lot of tournaments, I mean, you touched upon it. I mean, it's like organized to the second. So I mean, if a skier is in the middle of the course and there happens to be a runoff ensuing to either for the skier to get into the next round or to actually win the event or what have you, I mean, you've got those little tiny boats there, those little flat top boats to whisk the skier in and get him or her back into position as quickly as possible. Because time is of the imperative there, right?
Oh, it is. And you know what? It the course crew guys, it's what they can do in a matter of 5 minutes, changing it from a slalom course to a jump course. The pickup crew, all the guys that help them are pickup, just getting out there, grabbing a skier. And the other thing too, you mentioned it before about the tides. Like, you might have a skier fall at, let's say, three ball, which is right in front of where the jump start dock is. If the tide's going out towards the city or back out into Port Phillip Bay, by the time the pickup boat even knows, he's already at four ball. By the time they pick up that skier, they might be at five ball. So, yeah, that current runs, especially at high tide going out, it runs really fast. And it's so hard to show people that on the webcast. People can see it on the banks, but, yeah, on the webcast it's so hard to to showcase that.
Okay, it sounds like that you might have to preemptively dose up on some lozenges a little bit before the commentary for Moomba. But I think a few years ago we got a really good look at what happened whenever the King Tide comes into play. You know, because I think it was like Thomas de Gasperi actually won Moomba Slalom that year, was in the middle, I think, of either the quarter or the semifinals, and it was halfway down the course, and then you saw bits of buoys and jumps and docks and start flowing the other way. And I mean, it can turn from skier ball to just downright, you know, awful in just moments.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the Yarra starts a long way back from Melbourne. And I don't know what I've got in my throat here, Tony. Sorry. I'll just...
It's okay.
God,
it's
hope okay. This doesn't happen. Hope this doesn't happen next week. the Yarra starts a long way back from the actual city of Melbourne. So if there is heavy rain north of the city, that water will end up into the Yarra and feed all the way down into the ski site and then out towards the bay. So, yeah, it throws up its challenges. We've had everything from sticks and logs to we've had a fridge go down. We've had furniture go down. It's just crazy what can happen. And as I said, it's one of those tournaments that you don't know what's going to happen until you're there. Things could be looking perfect and we could be going and heading directly on schedule. All of a sudden, like I think 3 or 4 years ago, we had a boat come through. One of the the river cruise boats came through, mm-hmm. and it took out one of the wires. So then all of a sudden we get thrown into chaos because we've got to fix that wire. They've got to go back and they've got to go and try and replace the wire because the course is actually all cross wires.
Uh-huh.
Which again can make a lot of challenges with trying to make sure the course stays straight. But yeah, it's Moomba is what it is. We had another it might have been 4 years ago again. So again, being a public river, we had a number of rowers. A lot of the schools, the Melbourne schools, have rowing clubs just around the corner where we drop at the city end. And yeah, so during the normal everyday, there's hundreds and hundreds of rowing boats going up and down the Yarra. And this one particular year, one of the boats was rowing down, and I don't understand how they didn't see a big red jump ramp in the middle of the Yarra, but they were rowing backwards and actually hit directly into the back of the jump.
Oh, wow.
And punctured the flotation device in the front of the jump.
So it started sinking.
So then that then threw... It was right before the juniors in the morning was about to start. So then all of a sudden we got the course crew guys trying to fix the ramp, trying to get that float and trying to get the water out of the flotations. And yeah, it was just, that was a chaotic Moomba, that one. But basically your king tides can happen. Stuff can come down and catch wires. And yeah, it's just crazy the things that can happen at Moomba.
And everyone's got to be like a MacGyver or something like that, you know, with a solution and the ability to like think on their feet and rise to any challenge that comes along. So I mean,
yeah, exactly.
You mentioned the Yarra being one of the challenges, but what about some of the other challenges that come into play? Obviously, you've got the crowds and that kind of stuff that number in the thousands and everything, you know. And you've got admission and everything. So, I mean, take us through some of that, you know, because I mean, you're front and center for a lot of that, being the main announcer for Moomba.
Yeah, look, as I said, anything can sort of happen. So, there's always contingencies in place, and Bruce does a lot of the scheduling of this. Bruce Coburn does a lot of the scheduling on the skiers. But yeah, I mean, we get boat issues. A lot of people don't realize when you've got. With the festival, the Moomba Festival, so we're talking about it runs all through the botanical gardens. On the other side of the river as well, there's all rides and carnival rides and everything. So you might have at any one stage 100 to 200,000 people around that similar area. So with everyone on their mobile phones and doing things, the bandwidth gets taken up. So we can have internet issues. We're lucky we now have a dedicated internet source, but it's just, yeah, that's another factor. You get birds, we're kind of lucky where Moomba is that the wind is not really a factor. If the wind's coming, basically if it comes straight up and down the river, it can be blown out, which we don't normally get. The wind normally doesn't come from that direction. So it's kind of protected. But yeah, there's wildlife. We have a number, and the skiers hate it because there's a number of swans that float around. And they can get, I don't know if you've ever been in tow and eye to eye with a swan, but they can be pretty aggressive at times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been toe-to-toe with a swan. I mean, in my formative days of skiing over at Thorpe Park, right outside London, Chertsey, you know, I mean the whole place is like festooned with either Canadian geese or swans. And you know, you obviously know that swans are a protected animal, yeah. in the United Kingdom, you know. So, I mean, they can get as good as they can get themselves, but, I mean, you can't exactly tussle with a swan, otherwise do you have the law on you?
Yeah, exactly right. And then of course then when you get down to night jump, like normally a night jump is it's dark, of course, and then you've got some lights up, but with Moomba it's fairly well lit, but then you've also got the lights of the carnival going on. We've got fireworks that happen at 9:30 every night, so that then throws the night schedule into the challenges that it has. And yeah, look, as I said, there's so many things that can pop up. You try and be as organised as you can when these things happen. But as I said, the guys do a great job on the back end of managing time, not only your skiing time, but managing any issues that happen.
All right. Let's try and go a little bit with what you with your particular role as the announcer. You're announcing with Rob Wing and is it Curtis?
Glenn
who's doing the commentary with you. So how does that schedule resolve? I mean, you meet up before the tournament and said you do this event, you do this event. We change over and that kind of stuff.
The good thing what we try and do, especially with 5 days. It's you don't want to be doing too much, and they're literally now we're talking 14-hour days, so we try and break it up where we can. As you know, Tony, that commentary is not an easy gig, and a lot of people don't want to do it on such a big stage as what Moomba is. I'd be happy to take another 3 or 4 commentators if they really wanted to put their hand up. That's where we try and get some of the skiers involved too. But yeah, Glenn, Rob, and I will sit down on Thursday. We'll go through sort of the listings and then sort of go, yeah, all right, well, we'll put Rob and Glenn in that role. I'll jump in and I'll do this. We try and do event by event. We don't want to try and chop and change out events, a bit like what the skiers are. So, yeah, we just try and manage whatever we can sort of manage along the way and, as I said, then utilise some of the skiers that like to get up and help us and, yeah.
All right, then. Let's go to the actual event itself. I mean, I actually have the information pulled up from moombamasters.com.au. That's always a good site to check out the information. And there's also a link to the webcast on that page. So let's go straight ahead and see what we got for men's slalom. I mean, obviously, ahead in breadth of everyone else in the field is quite possibly Nate Smith there, the current world champion. You've got the likes of Freddie Winter and Thomas Gatsby. But let's look towards the bottom of the list, and I see a battle of redemption between the likes of Lucas Cornell going up against Nicholas Nelson. Both of them were involved in that runoff at the Junior World Championship in Chile not too long ago. So that could be a battle royale right at the early stage in the competition.
And hey, even to add to that, Charlie Ross will be wanting redemption too from Junior World.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like, you look at some of these names and you look at where they're ranked, and of course, Moomba being a seeded event, Charlie's seeded 6th. So he's going to be ready to try and put out a big score. His first time to Moomba. As I said, Lucas has been at Moomba before. He knows the site. He's an Aussie. He's going to have the backing of the crowd too. And then Nicholas Nelson, who knows, mate? It could... That junior competition, we talk about open men's slalom, but you go back to that junior competition with those three battling for first, second, and third, that's just going to set those boys up for every chance to make it through to Moomba Monday on that final.
All right, then. One skier that I want to highlight before we move on to our next event is Joel Howley. I mean, because he's looking to try and reestablish himself among the top blokes up there in men's slalom, and he's got some jacked up setup so far as his front pining is concerned. So I mean, you have to screw it down to get him in and get the screws to get him out. You know, I mean, it's whatever it takes, I suppose.
I've spoken to him numerous times, Tony, and I said, Joel, there has to be a better way. And he goes, Jared, that's how I feel comfortable. I'm like, well, okay, if that's how you feel comfortable, by all means. But yeah, you'll see him on the dock, and we highlight a little bit through the webcast when he's taking his bindings off, especially if he comes back to that centre dock. And yeah, he gets his DeWalt tools out and he undoes the screws and undoes the bolts and gets himself out of those bindings. But Joel's one of those people, when it comes to Moomba time, there's a couple of key athletes that the crowd know, and we'll touch base a little bit about Jacinta, I'm assuming, a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to Joel, when it comes to Nick Adams, these guys who have been around a long time, the crowd know who they are. So the crowd really get behind them. And the support crew that Joel in particular has that come down from Queensland is just phenomenal. They'll be screaming on the far bank. They'll be screaming on the close bank. They'll be screaming from everywhere.
They'll be screaming from the Ferris wheel.
Yeah, exactly right. But, yeah, he has such a great support crew, as all the Aussies do. And that's, I guess that's one thing being Melbourne being the sporting capital of Australia, if not the world. But we always do get behind our athletes. And yeah, look, who knows? Joel could pop one out of the bag and nudge a spot on the podium. But Tony, we go back, as you said before, Nate Smith. If I was a betting man, I'd nearly go and put my house on Nate to win this year after what he did last year, breaking the course record, running 10.25. It still gives – I'm getting goosebumps now of still being there and witnessing and commentating that run at 10.25. It was just something – I don't think you would ever think that someone would ever run 10.25 on the Yarra, but yeah, he ended up doing it, so –
Indeed. And obviously backed it up with a number of similar scores throughout the remainder of the season in the Northern Hemisphere as well. So we look out for more of that on the Yarra this time around. Let's go over to women. Whitney McClintock-Reaney, the top seed. And as you mentioned, the Aussies get behind their folks, and the number two seed, Vanessa Wieck, will no doubt be feeling quite a bit of that when she gets out on the water.
Yeah, there'll be a bit of pressure on Vanessa this year. Whitney, of course, she's had a good preparation. I remember I see a few videos out there of her running back-to-back 38s and doing the rest of it. But yeah, Vanessa, she's a competitor. She just wants to win. She wants to do it again. She was so I remember seeing her face, and when I interviewed her when she won last year, her face and the emotion that just poured out of her was just unbelievable. But again, we talk about redemption. Does Whitney want to redeem herself here in 2023? You got Paige too. Is Paige going to take a book? Maybe you could see Whitney one, Paige two. You've got Neely, who also is going to want to be up there to battle for that title. But yeah, I think women's slalom is probably going to be closer than what we've ever seen.
Indeed, you know, and you mentioned Whitney and you mentioned Paige, you know, and for those of you who don't know, actually interviewed Whitney McClintock-Reaney and Matt Reaney during the Pan American Water Ski Championships and asked him about the family rivalry between those two competitors. And Matt just plainly said, you know, it's a win-win, you know, no matter who comes away with the first prize or a podium spot or a little bit of money out of the equation here on the Yarra River, you know. So yeah, it's going to be great to see them tussle it out. Let me have a look and see who else could well.
You know what though, Tony? Looking at the numbers, I mean, we get to see a lot of people enter. A lot of people don't realize it. Moomba is an invitational event.
Oh yeah,
but anyone can put through an intent to enter. So then, when it comes to selection time at the sort of end of January, we pick basically off the world ranking lists the top whoever we can fit in to the schedule. Basically, as I said before, there's scheduling issues, and I think men's slalom this year, Gustavo Kretschmer from Chile is the last in, and I think he has a score somewhere on. It might be 1.5 or 2 at 10.7. So the cut to get in to Moomba with 24 skiers is 2 at 10.75.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible.
It is by far the best cut that we've had across all the events. We were thinking, going back into December, Wayne Bryan and I were talking about entries, and people are a little bit slow about getting Moomba entries in because, again, people don't understand this, but the money that comes in from the entry forms is what basically pays to run the entire event. Mm-hmm. So we try and get entries and know who is going to be entered into the event prior to January. So we have a bit of an idea on gauge on numbers. And it got to about halfway through December, and Wayne and I spoke, and we're like, geez, numbers aren't looking great for Moomba this year. We haven't got this person. Then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but by halfway through January, we're looking down the list going, geez, we've got it. This is the best field we've ever had at Moomba. When you look at some of the numbers, but some of the skiers that are coming. So, yeah, we're definitely going to be in for a big and competitive Moomba here in 23.
Yes, indeed. And And as I was saying, looking down the name, there is one name that I'm looking to see if she can launch a little bit of a comeback, and that's Sadie Ferguson, who's been struggling a little bit with injuries over the last couple of seasons. Injured herself, I think, prior to the Junior World Championships in 2021 or something like that,
yeah.
But still skied in the final. And, you know, I mean, bless her cotton socks. I mean, she tried her best and couldn't conjure up the performance that she really, truly wanted it to. But, I mean, a fair play on her for even trying, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Sadie's been over. She's actually over in WA at the moment skiing with Ryan and Sarah Green. So she's going to be prepped and ready to go for slalom. She's not jumping. She's not jumping this year. I don't even think she made the trick cut either. So she'll just be focusing on slalom. Yeah, as you said, Moomba, anything can happen. You can be in the second series or the second seed group of skiers and still make it through. To the semifinals. That's another thing I didn't mention before, Tony. Just about 23. Normally, with that extra day, we get basically every event in the Opens get three rounds. You get the elimination round, we then have a semi-final, and then we have the eight men and six women finals. This year, because of the scheduling, losing the day, we're basically going from a semi-final through to finals, except for men's and women's slalom.
Wow, that is incredible.
It's going to be a lot tougher.
Indeed. Indeed, certainly, the cuts can be brutal on the Yarra River. You know, one minute you're doing well and it looks like you're off to the races, and then something out the blue just pops up and just denies you. You know, I mean, in a split second, you know, it can be that unpredictable.
And that was kind of the thing when we had the three rounds, like men's slalom. You could sort of, you know, that the first cut would be somewhere around maybe 2 at 11, 2 at 38, something like that will get you through to the semifinals, the 15-person semifinals. But, yeah, especially you look at tricks now, you're going from basically women's tricks, we've got 15 women's trickers going into a final of six. So it's a pretty hefty cut. And I said, you make a mistake, sometimes you can use that first elimination round to sort of get yourself not a familiarisation set, but you can sort of set yourself up to feel what the Yarra feels like. But this year, especially for tricks and for jump, it's going to be hell for leather just to get a score on the board to get you through to the final.
Indeed. And you speak about tricks. Pat O'Font looks to be head and shoulders above the rest of them. But, I mean, so many young competitors in the men's tricks event. I mean, there's Martin Labra, the world overall, junior overall champion. Matias Gonzalez, the junior world boys tricking champion. You've got Tobias Georges. Robert Hazelwood trying to launch, relaunch his overall credentials as well when trying to get onto the British team and make it to the World Championships as an overall skier and bump up their team scores towards the latter portion of the season, but the list of trickers looks a highly competitive one.
Yeah, and I think as I just said before, without that original practice round going from a elimination straight to a final or a semi-final straight to a final, I think you're going to see Martin and Mateus really with their two practice sets, well, not practice sets, but their two familiarization sets in the junior boys tricks, I think is really going to help them cement a spot up that top of that, up the top of the tricks leaderboard, I reckon. I think that's such an advantage to have for those juniors to have that set up in on Thursday, Friday.
Do you get much?
But as you said,
do you get much feedback from the skiers? I mean, as to how much of a difference the current has in terms of their performances. I mean, because obviously with slalom, it's going to pose immense challenges and jump as well. Trick seems to be the one that is least effective by that, or so it may seem.
Well, the boat, they tend to have to adjust the boat a lot more. So with the water being sort of, it's a mixture, it's a bit of a brackish water, it's sort of a mixture of salt and fresh water, so it's quite buoyant. So there's a lot of adjustments with the wakes because it can actually be, the river can be quite deep when it comes to high tide. So it could be different from each set. So you might have your set, you might have your settings dialed in for round one when it's a low tide, but for tricks, you might have to adjust that wake setting for high tide. You might have to adjust your boat speed depending on which way the current's going too. So they're all talking about it as the event goes through. And you just mentioned even with men's slalom, this year, Saturday is basically all slalom. So from, I think, 8 o'clock in the morning through till, I think, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon is slalom. So the people who ski at 8 o'clock in the morning might have low tide, where people who ski in the afternoon might have high tide. So it's really relevant. You're not really going to get too much feedback off a skier who skis early compared to a skier who skis late.
Wow.
And I think that's what really makes Moomba such a challenge, because it's not like, oh, we've got a little bit of a headwind coming this way and it's going to be staying there the whole day. You've got the tides to worry about, you've got the water to worry about, you've got the wind to worry about, you've got the crowd to worry about. It's just so many things from a skier's point of view that goes through your mind as you're coming into course.
Indeed, indeed. Let's focus in on women's tricks, probably the most competitive event out there. I mean, you've got Erica, you've got Neely, you've got Anna, you've got Paige, you've got Sasha, you've got Aaliyah Young-Hanifer in the mix as well. And then you've got European women's trick champion Alicia Bagnoli in that list as well. So, I mean, it is probably one of the most competitive events out there.
I reckon this is going to be, out of all the events, out of men's and women's, every event, women's tricks is going to be the hardest one to pick by far. And I don't even know. I couldn't even give you a guess, because, as I said, you've got Erica, Neely, Anna, top three, all capable of tricking over 10,000 points. It's I think women's tricks is going to be the event to watch.
Oh yeah.
And as I said, and if you make a mistake, you could think these three are going to be guaranteed to go through. But with that now, semi-finals, a cut of six through to the finals, if you make one mistake, if you don't read that river correctly, if you have that slight roller as you're jumping that wake and you miss that timing, you're down. You may not make that final. You might have made the semi in previous years. This year, you may be out in round one.
Yeah, because, I mean, you approach the trick course, and I mean, you might have the perfect wakes coming up right up to the Swan Bridge, but then a few yards afterwards, the wake could just like drop out completely out of sight for the skiers, and then you get what you get, you know.
Yeah, there's nothing really. You can't really change too much once you're in course, because the trick course actually is quite short. So once you take off from under the Swan Street Bridge and you head under the bridge, you sort of get in, you get a bit of a feel for the wakes, and the course crew guys, Dave and Pud, they actually put in a backwash system across. So where the commentary tower is, where the video recorder is, there's actually all a full backwash system along that solid. Basically, during the normal weeks, it's a solid concrete edge. So they put in that backwash system to try and reduce those rollers. So, again, at different times of the day, depending on the tides, those rollers will change, and those entry rollers into the trick course will change.
All right, then. Let's switch gears a little bit. Women's jump. Okay, I don't think anyone that has studied this sport or has even occasionally glanced at women's jump can disagree with the whole notion that, you know, that Jacinta Carroll is just head and shoulders above everyone else coming into this event, and it would seem that everyone else is fighting for second.
Yeah, and it sort of hurts. It hurts women's jump a little bit with Jacinta, because she is so far ahead of everyone else. But you know what? It's going to come a time when she gives it up, or whether she wants to move on from skiing. But look, we certainly hope she doesn't, because she is a phenomenon to watch, and the crowd, as I said before, do get behind her. But when you've got Sasha, you've got Taryn, you've got Valentina, all sitting there behind her. You make a mistake, and Moomba's one of those things. You've seen guys like Freddy Krueger go out there and miss kick jumps. You very rarely see Jacinta do it, but can she be that consistent, Tony? I think she can be, but...
She's proved it every year since 2013, she hasn't lost a single tournament she's competed in since that year.
Yeah. But there's always going to be someone there pipping at your heels and trying to get there. And it's good to see Sasha making it out here this year as well. Money's definitely on Jacinta. And she wants to put on a performance for the home crowd, and that's what she does. Every time she comes out, she gets the crowd pumped up. It's what she does.
And the good
thing about Jacinta is she'll always go out there and she'll always want to compete, not only to beat the other competition, but also to compete against herself, because she wants to be up there competing with the boys, as I think she will be on. Is she night jumping? I'm not quite sure if she's night jumping this year or not, but she loves competing against herself, trying to better herself every time. And look, she'll go out there. If she wins it on jump one, she will still every time back it up with jump two and jump three.
It doesn't appear that she is among our night jumpers, but she's definitely head and shoulders above everyone else. Now, did you see one of her latest Instagram posts? I mean, she was like going from a jump set to a weight training set. You know, I mean, she is as strong as an ox, I can tell you. I mean, I couldn't even lift one of the plates that goes on the bars that Jacinta manages to push up about over her head. I mean, she is just absolutely just fitness, right off the chains on that one. So, I mean, we're definitely looking forward to seeing Jacinta Carroll in the jump event and see what pales out on that one. But
yeah, for sure.
Men's jump, Ryan Dodd. I mean, what can we say? I mean, he's the world champion, world record holder. He's here to make a statement, you know. And I mean, over the last couple of seasons, he's barely competed. He's competed in less than half a dozen competitions. He's been fighting injuries and that kind of stuff. But when he is able to get out in the water, He really comes through in the clutch, and I believe it's going to be no different here on the era.
Oh yeah, I think so. I think your money's definitely there on Ryan if you're a betting person, but he just looks so dialed in. He knows Moonbar. He can make those adjustments so quickly. You talk to him after. I mean, we've interviewed him a couple of times after he's come back, and he just says the slightest change makes such a big difference in jump. On a normal site here at Moomba, a slight change can mean you're going for it and you're going big, or you're back on your heels because of the way the conditions are. But you know what? Taylor is going to be right there. He was right there with him last year.
Yeah.
Dorian as well. The two young guys they'll be pushing Ryan. Going back, I saw a recent post, we put it up on the Moomba Facebook page, of back in 2013-2014, when Tim Bradstreet won. He went out there off a 5-6 ramp, put a 65.7 metre jump or something out there, and won because of the pressure he put on Freddie, who then couldn't back it up and get the score. But you never know. These kids, Dorian, Taylor, Tobias, I haven't seen Tobias jumping at 6 foot, 6 foot yet. But even Archie Davis last year, the young Australian, He pressed it. He pushed as hard as he could, jumping, yeah, sort of almost mid-60s. I think men's jump's going to be a little bit closer than what a lot of people say. But as you said, Ryan's definitely the one to watch in men's jump.
Yeah, you mentioned Taylor Garcia. Now, he is someone that I'll be looking very closely at, because the last time he jumped in anger in the competition was at LA Night Jam in June of last season. Sustained an injury in the elimination round, made it to the final, jumped in the final, didn't get much out the ramp in the final, and after that point, he basically phoned it in for the remainder of the season, didn't compete at all. So this is essentially his first major tournament back on the water, competing against the world's best, and we'll see if the rehab that he's had after that tournament last season and in the off season has yielded anything good for him.
Yeah, I think Taylor will be prepared this year. Yeah, as you said, he had that injury sort of towards the middle of last season, but I think he'll be prepared up. He loves. I mean, Taylor's been coming here since he was since 2013, since he was here for the Junior Worlds. And knowing Taylor, he loves the crowd. He'll lap it up. As he heads down every year, he gets the crowd pumped up and gets the crowd behind him. Well, you don't sort of see that from Ryan. So, yeah, maybe Taylor can work on that Melbourne crowd and get that little bit of an edge, I reckon. But, yeah, who knows? Men's jump's going to be tighter than what people expect it to be, I think.
All right, then. So we've gone through the events and everything. I mean, and the overall competitions will resolve themselves as they typically do. You know, I mean the likes of Sasha Denyerskaya would no doubt be putting up some scores in all three events. Rob Hazelwood, I touched upon, as an overall skier. Louis Duplan Freiburg is in the mix as well for overall. So we'll be looking for some decent performances from them on the early part of the season. But Jared, I mean, it's been great talking to you. I mean, looking forward to this event, you know. And I mean, I have to say that the position that you're in at the Moomba Masters year after year, getting to commentate at the early part of the season, I mean, it is absolutely the dream position. I mean, and it's actually led to great careers going forwards afterwards, because I mean, I remember the commentaries from Mark Beretta. All right, so yeah. From the Moomba Masters, and guess where he is right now? He's on the sofa at Seven Network Sunrise, you know, commentating on sports and traveling to the Summer Olympics, the Winter Olympics, the World Cup, all of that kind of stuff. So, do you harbor those aspirations there?
Look, it's a little bit different than I guess back when Mark was around. Mark did a fantastic job doing his commentary and what he did for Moomba back in all those years. But I mean, everyone says we post stuff on social media about the event, and you ask anyone in Melbourne about Moomba, they always say, "Oh yeah, the water skiing that used to be on TV. Why is it not on TV anymore?" We would love to have it back on national TV here, and even if it was for them, just for Monday, just for the finals part. We were actually at our ski lake at Mawala, which is about 3.5 hours out of Melbourne, a couple of weeks ago. We were looking through some old videos and actually found some of the old Moomba videos. One went back to 1995 on the old VCR, and we had a couple of old VCRs there from the old jump measuring system. And we thought, oh, let's play a couple. And it was just, it's just amazing going back and watching what they used to do and having it on national TV and the sponsorship deals that used to come from it and the way the event, that sort of brought everyone together. What were you doing? You might watch the skiing on the Saturday and go, oh, let's go and watch it live. So then they'd then come in on the Sunday. And that's what we did. That's how I got into skiing. Literally, we'd watch it and then all of a sudden you go, oh, let's go down. And we went and sat on the banks for years, and never in my mind did I ever think that one day, I'm lucky enough I got to ski in juniors and I've jumped a couple of night jumps and the rest of it at Moomba. But to be here now in the position I'm in, being able to commentate the biggest water ski event in the world is certainly a dream.
Certainly. And also what happens in conjunction with Moomba is the Australian Water Ski and Wakeboard Hall of Fame induction ceremonies, isn't that right?
Yeah, correct. I'm not quite sure if it's every year. I think it's every second year that they're doing that now.
Okay.
The Hall of Fame, getting all the people that have been around, especially in Australia, all the ex-Australian skiers that skied at Moomba back in the 80s, the 90s, being out on site. That's one of the things that people don't get, and you don't get until you've experienced Moomba on site. The juniors, of course, Thursday, Friday. The prequel to the Opens. Once you start getting the Open skiers turning down, especially when they come in, like this year they'll be coming in on Friday, the atmosphere just starts to build as the professional athletes come down. And you get the likes of Nate comes down. You just feel, and you get the likes of Ryan Dodd and Pat O'Font and all of those top skiers coming down. The kids love it too. All the young kids, maybe not being the top seeds, but those younger, some of these young Australian kids, they sort of just, they get a bit, they get a bit more excited because they know what's going to be happening over the next 3 days. It's just it's awesome to watch, and you can't really explain it until you're there watching it live and getting to see all these athletes, the pilgrimage down the Yarra that we see. And yeah, it's something special.
Yeah, and I can certainly sound, I can definitely tell by the tone of your voice. I mean, you're absolutely excited and giddy at the prospect of Moomba coming round. You know, it's only just a few days away. And for those of you that that would like to see the Moomba Masters, it's on moombamasters.com.au. There's a link to the webcast there. And also, there is also condensed coverage of the Moomba Masters. It goes out on Foxtel, doesn't it, a few weeks afterwards?
Correct. Yeah. So after the event, Anthony from Late Night Media, he gets through and he cuts or edits all the Monday footage. And then we go into the studios there. Normally Rob and I'll go into the studios about a week and a half later. And then we'll do the voiceovers for that TV show. It goes for about an hour and it goes all over the world. So I remember I was over on a work conference in Thailand back in 2012 or 13.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to the hotel and lo and behold, here's Moomba on the TV in Thailand and myself commentating behind it. So yeah, after 10 years, mate, we've seen some things and there's certainly more things to see. And as I said earlier, the field here in 2023 is something special. We're still missing a lot of the top guys too, which we didn't mention before. There's a lot of top skiers that aren't making their way here. And you know what? It's their sort of bad luck to miss out on these events, because every single person that comes to Moomba says, no matter what, no matter how they ski, no matter what happens, we will come back each and every year. And I think that's one of the things. And once you've experienced it, you want to keep experiencing Moomba.
Indeed, indeed. All right, then, Jared Farrow, I hope I pronounced that right this time.
That's it, perfect.
This time around, thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule. And do you want to get a brief shout-out and acknowledgement to your associates, whoever, the floor is yours?
Look, it's, as I said, jump onto the movermasters.com.au website, join us on the webcast, as we say. Give us a shout out if you want to know, if you want to say hello to an athlete that you're following and you're on the webcast, or even just throughout the next week. We'll do what we can to pump them up for you. A big thank you to everyone that puts on Moomba, from all of the judges that come out, the chief judge, Jeff Smith this year. He's been doing it for a number of years. All of the boat drivers. And as I said, the organization that goes in from the Victorian Water Ski Association, hats off to them, because I certainly don't want to be in their position when it comes to when things start to go wrong. But they do a fantastic job. Like any tournament, it's quite a well greased machine Moomba is, and yeah, it's just going to be a pleasure to bring 2023 to all of our water ski fans wherever you are around the world. So yeah, join us. Yeah, we'll see you on there.
All right, then. That was Jared Farrow, and this is Tony Lightfoot for the TWBC podcast. And as is the typical sign-off, I will say ciao for now, and be sure to check out the latest edition of the TWBC podcast.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.